right, this is Art Major, Chair of the Canton WPCA, beginning the November 3rd, 2025, regular meeting. And we have myself, Bob Selmer, Russell Bush, Nick Leblatt, Dick Daly, and Larry Manicello. So we have a full quorum. Call it to order at 6:01 PM. We have no members of the public, so our first order of business is to look at the meeting minutes from the last meeting.
I move WPCA approve the October 6th, 2025 regular meeting minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay, I have Russell for a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I abstain. I wasn't here.
That's right. One abstention. Thank you, Larry. Okay, move on, John, to the open projects worksheet.
Sure. All right. For open projects, just 465 Albany Turnpike, that's the Pedals and Paws property, his new building. He did make the connection there. So just waiting on, once everything's completed there and that billing account's created, I'm just going to leave him on the list until then, but that's all set. In Applegate Village, there's now 24 of the 34 total homes there are using sewer. So other than that, no new applications or updates on other projects.
Yeah. We've adjourned around behind CVS, 115 Albany Turnpike. Probably don't know why that one.
So. That's going full bore, yeah.
Yeah. All right, John, the monthly report.
All right, so for the monthly report, I kind of reorganized it just a little bit because we meet so early in the month that I almost never have removal efficiencies or nutrients available. So I kind of took those off the list and just kind of reorganized things. So for flows for the plant, average daily flow is 481,000 gallons per day. Our 180-day peak moving average was 0.638, and that's 67% of our design flow. Rainfall was 5.78 inches. We sent out 9 truckloads of sludge. So as far as everything's trending right now, all our regulatory requirements should be met. I did have to report a monitoring equipment failure due to a loss of UV disinfection communication. So UV disinfection was still working on that 29th, but there was an issue where we weren't seeing the dose value, and there's basically a little communications board, like a little computer inside the thing. And we ended up resolving the issue, diagnosing it ourselves. By the time the manufacturer got back to us with tech support, we had already fixed it. So that's all back together. As far as plant maintenance, a couple things to point out. Our boilers were serviced. So we have one in the admin building and one in the solids handling. Primary scum tank, we had an outside contractor. We do that twice a year. They come out and suck the grease and rags from that tank and dispose of that at another larger facility. And then just to repeat the UV disinfection system, we made that repair. Pump stations, the shop's pump station wet well and the town bridge pump station wet well. That same company that came and sucked our scum tank out, we had them clean our wet well, so they suck all the grease and rags off the top. Our guys will pump the well down, and then they'll suck the thing right down to the bottom, get all the grit and rocks, anything that's stuck in those wet wells, get it out so it doesn't cause us issues. Safety and training, so we attended the Connecticut WIA Fall Workshop and the CTR WWA Annual Expo. That was myself and Troy, our chief operator. We ordered a new gas meter and calibration gas. We only had one working meter. We really should have two. Those, they're not all that dependable, and every time you need it, that's when you'll have a sensor that's not working. So we ordered a new one of those. Just besides that, I've been working on the fiscal year budgets, which I have in front of us. We can go over later in the meeting. Solidified a disposal agreement with MBC. That's where we dispose of our sludge. I have to do that annually. And I drafted an annual report for the town. So just a report, compilation of annual accomplishments, area of interest, focus, mission statement, and potential projects. Really just an outline of the year, what happened during it, major events and things we're planning on for the future.
That's MDC's sludge disposal agreement. So that isn't a new contract for price, it's just some legal agreement we sign every year?
Yeah, well, it is a price adjustment every year. So, yeah. It did go up 12.3%. So that's the biggest, besides electrical, that's the biggest cost most treatment plants have, is sludge hauling and disposal. So we went from 6.1 cents, or we're going from 6.1 cents per gallon to 6.85 cents per gallon.
What we usually had is multi-year. Is that in the past, sometimes it would go for?
For transportation, we do. We used to have them combined, but then years ago, I think it was 2018 or 2019, there was an issue where the hauler wasn't paying MBC the bill. So we would only get paid, a bill from, I think it was Dave Waddington Trucking. They would charge us for hauling and disposal, and they would figure out the whole disposal agreement with MBC or wherever they're bringing it to. So they bring it to MBC, and then they weren't paying the MDC bill, so MDC said, DWT, you're not coming here anymore, and Canton, you need to find a new hauler. So at that point, we separated the contracts, and now we have hauling and disposal.
Okay. Yeah, so we pay MDC to burn the sludge in their incinerator, and that's a separate fee from just the truckers hauling.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, hauling is 9.9 cents per gallon. Disposals. It's now going to be 6.85, but that's been the trend, about 10 to 15% a year, which is a lot. But there's only five locations in the state, and I think only three would potentially take our sludge because it's liquid, and it's from what I understand, everyone is really tight with capacity as far as how much sludge they can take. You can't really just shop around and go somewhere else because it's pretty tough. It's a tough market.
There are different processes. We could dewater it and ship it?
I mean, I think in facility planning, they'll probably look at something like that. I wouldn't think dewatering is going to be probably costlier as far as equipment's concerned, and staffing. Probably be thickening. So thickening, you get it from, say, we send out 3.5%. We'd want to get to 6%. It would cut our hauling costs in half. Dewatering is you have to get it at least 15%. It needs to be truckable through a roll-off dumpster. But then you also have more buildings. You have a lot of odors.
That's something that will be looked at, though, during our...
Yeah, I'm sure we'll look at it, but it's other things to consider. There are going to be downsides to dewatering, too, as much as I would like to do it, but it's really tough to keep odors within the plant. And then one thing I just wanted to point out for the Connecticut, so CTR WWA, that's Connecticut Rural Water and Wastewater Association. Not to just toot my horn, but I wanted to say it for my guys too, because I can't do without them. I did get the Operator of the Year award through that organization. So just wanted to relay the message, and thanks to you guys too, because I can't do it without your approval on budgets or purchases or anything. Thank you.
Does the CAO get that information?
I did let him know. I didn't even plan on going to that event until they told me I should for that reason. So I kind of had to ask permission to take the day.
Great.
I think it would be good, Art, if you would send Penny an email. He did that award, even though if he did or didn't, because it's part of his review process, I'm sure. It'd be nice to have that as a feather in his hat during reviews on it. Are we reviewing?
Penny is?
CAO, our CAO, town CAO. You negotiate with him, right?
That's how it's been, and yeah, since I've been working here.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Would you mind sending that letter, email?
Thanks. But yeah, that's all I have for plant report, unless anyone has any questions.
All right, John, I guess you might as well keep rolling along here, go through the different pipeline, phase two, phase three.
Yeah, all right, so Mike Head doesn't work for Witter and Kerr anymore. He works for, I think it's GHD, if I remember the acronym correctly, another engineering firm, doing similar environmental type work. So it's probably gonna be, Paul Dombrowski's gonna be stepping back in again, and maybe another engineer. We'll see how that goes, but it could be Jacob. I'm not sure if you've met him before or not. I know Art and I have, but he's a real good guy too. But anyways, I'll go through the projects. So pipeline rehab phase two, punch list work is complete. Witter and Kerr's did reach out to National Water Main Cleaning Company for some verifications. Provided everything checks out, we'll be closing that project out very soon and getting it off this unfinished business list. Pipeline rehab phase three, so we're just getting started on that. Duke's Root Control, they treated the roots in the sewer on Spring Street on the 21st of October. In situ form, either the same day or the day before, performed a pre-CIPP video inspection. So we're gonna be lining that. So before they line it, they send a camera down, do an inspection, and just need to verify size, length, and other parameters within that pipe, so they can bring the right size liner. In situ form also ordered frames and covers. Expected lead time on that's 2 to 4 weeks. Under this project, we're adding some additional small items under owner's contingency, which is a $10,000 amount, just to maximize the grant amount receivable. The grant administrator that I dealt with early in the project was a little more lenient as far as approving police detail reimbursements, but now they are saying they're not gonna be approving those. So that kind of limits the amount that we're gonna receive back for reimbursement. So I'm trying to maximize the amount of work we actually get done now. So we're gonna try to use up that $10,000 contingency that's built into the contract. So some of that work is a drop pipe replacement on Gildersleeve. And then there's manhole frame replacements on Johnson Place, South Street, Center Street, New Road, and Highfield Drive. So some of those were found during the manhole inspections that Witter and Kern's doing, and some of them were just staff inspections, things we knew about that were issues. Under primary clarifier rehabilitation, the equipment is ordered, the clarifier equipment is ordered, and expected delivery is early December. Tucker Mechanical, that's the contractor, submitted a request for information, requesting a alternate path for the electrical duct bank, basically just shortening it, making it a lot easier so they don't have to cross the yard, cross a bunch of pipe work. So that's been reviewed and approved, and that makes a lot more sense the way they want to do it. Follow-up visits being scheduled by Tucker and their sub, so they can coordinate that work. And then on to facilities planning. So I did include the facilities planning update dated today, but I'm just going to go through it quickly. I have just kind of key points from it. So for task one, a lot of the base mapping is complete. That's septic system problem areas, water utility maps, our sewer maps, geographic, demographic maps, things of that nature. So they're working on, they're also working on the sewer system hydraulic profile and the flow allocation spreadsheet. Some survey work still needs to be completed. They are prepping for the meeting on the 19th of this month with EDA and planning and zoning. So Paul, Art, and myself plan to go to that meeting. I'd say anyone's welcome to join too, but it's going to be really just so Woodard and Kern can get the information they need to and from EDA and planning and zoning.
Yeah, so the purpose of that meeting and having us go there, it's not really for us to do a presentation on facilities planning as much as just, coordination with them on what's the zoning, future zoning in town. I think those sort of questions are, rather than, we did a presentation for the Board of Selectmen just to present our facilities planning so far, but this is a little bit different.
Yeah. Just to kind of guide the project and where the town, where the EDA and planning and zoning thinks we need to go with.
Is that at the behest of them, or is it something that you
think is part of the facilities planning? It's one of the tasks in the facilities planning process. So.
Yeah, it's one of the tasks and one of the key points that DEP looks for is they want WPCA and planning kind of working together on how they. They plan the next 20 years, really.
Future growth and land use issues, yeah.
And Paul's a representative, right, for that subcommittee or the plan of conservation development?
Dick is going to be, that's a separate, we're on committees and other things. Dick has kindly volunteered to be our representative to their town is rewriting the plan of conservation and development, which is it's not just zoning, it's anyways. And I don't know how often, every 10 or 20 years they revise it, and they asked me if we could appoint someone as a liaison and a committee member. So anyways, Dick has volunteered. Thanks Dick. I don't know how long it's going to be, like a year long process or whatever. They didn't really specify, but another town committee thing that would have involved.
So then after that, the Woodard and Kern's planning to visit the three pump stations with WPCF staff to do more thorough inspections of those to estimate capacities and deficiencies. And they still need to compile and review census and demographic data, as well as investigate storm drainage features. So just getting another overlay map from the town of where their storm features are. Under task two, they are reviewing data that's been gathered to date. CCTV inspections are ongoing. Those started on the 20th or 21st of October. They are planning on some building inspections, but they need to coordinate those with the town. Those are going to be large buildings, as long as they get permission to do inspections there, dye testing and checking the drainage configurations. Under task three, they have verified major equipment at the plant during an October 20th site visit. They're continuing to analyze the flows and loads at the plant. A little bit of survey work still remains. And the WPCF still needs to be assessed under different Woodard and Kern teams, and that'll be for SCADA, energy, structural teams and process teams, so everyone has their own discipline that they need to focus on, but those are the four main ones right there. For SCADA communications, that's the conversion of radio to cell at a few of our sites. The cell modems are received, SIM cards are being programmed, and FirstNet estimates the portal build, which I'm not sure exactly what that is, but they estimate that to be complete by mid-November. So once that's done, then the Witter and Kern can pick back up again and try to and work on integrating that. So that's what I have for those five project updates, but if anyone has any questions, I can do my best at answering them.
Well, I was just thinking it would be interesting to hear more about the results from their flow studies, the in-pipe flow studies. That's, they did that back in May, and we still haven't really seen someone on that.
So yeah, I mean, I've only seen really...
Next time Paul is here, maybe next meeting.
Yep.
We can talk to him about doing a little presentation on it. I think we'd be interested in what they found about what sections of town.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think they are, I mean, of course they're working on it, but he did mention in their memo that the technical memo number two, which would include all that graphing information, is being developed now. So hopefully they're putting all that together so we can view it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen preliminary things, but it's all in spreadsheets, and it doesn't make any, I mean, it makes sense, but it doesn't make any, there's no visual to it, seeing the spikes and flows. How it relates to I and I.
Well, one other thing on flows, I had asked John this week, we got that rainstorm 3 inches and the plant flows went up 200,000, maybe you can...
Yeah, off memory, I want to say it was 3.1 inches we received, and our flows jumped 175,000, which isn't terrible. But I mean, it's been so dry, so there's a lot of runoff, and a lot of that water that did come down, it's going to take a while to percolate through the ground.
It's not too bad, though. What was our high? What was the peak for those days, or what was our average?
We went from about 430,000 to just over 600 in that one day period.
We've seen worse, yeah.
It's been in the 500s for the weekend. So, I mean, I'd have to verify the actual numbers, but off the top of my head, I did notice it's in the 500s. But the worse it is, the longer it takes to tail off.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of demonstrated that in a lot of graphs. So.
It's not really so bad. You know, we've seen a lot worse spikes after rainstorms. It was a fairly good spike of rain. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, nothing.
Yeah.
No issues. No issues at the plant.
Right.
Well, it was in the middle of the winter and we had a big rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
There wouldn't, more of that is going to be running off into the environment as opposed to into our system.
I mean, you might get a bigger inflow because a lot of times the rain, especially if there's snow buildup and then you get rain, the rain has nowhere to go other than runoff or flood the streets and get into the manholes. You'll have a big spike. Yeah. And then depending on the temperature too, whether or not you have a good ice pack or if it's a super mild winter, the ground might just be very saturated like it was 2 years ago. And then you have I&I continuously. There's nothing competing for it. There's no, plants aren't growing, trees aren't trying to pull that moisture, so the water just sits there. Evaporation's low.
Okay, well, thanks, John. That's a pretty good update. And really, the final item we need to start thinking about is next year's budgets, and John's been working on it. Talked to him some about it. So this is to get us thinking about our financial condition and next year's budgets.
So I just provided a financial update. I think I did the similar thing a couple months ago. Really not much has changed because there hasn't been many transfers in and out of our stiff accounts. The auditors are still working. So these values don't actually match our actual fund balance at the moment, but they're close to what they would be before we started getting revenue. But in our stiff accounts right now is roughly $800,000, and WPCA operations, WPCA assessment is roughly $334,000, and WPCA capital projects is $1.4 million. So capital projects are of course fully funded because we want to transfer money into there to fund a project without, you know, transferring the full amount. WPCA assessment, I'm considering that fully funded because we only have $298,000 left on a clean water fund loan. That's for Dowd Avenue sewer replacement that was done in 2008-2009 time period. That'll be paid off in July of 2029. So there's more than that in there, and that continues to grow. I think there's another $28,500 that should be transferred into that as well. And the other number is just the stiff balance as of 9/30 is $799, and I just put our operating budget of $1,022,044. So we did go below that $1 million or 1 year of revenue safety factor that we've kind of been working around, but that the reason for that was because of the large transfers for funding some of the big projects, primary clarifier rehab and the facilities planning being the most notable.
So as far as like for last year, billing versus receipts, did it all come in? Do we have anything in where commercial or residentials haven't paid yet?
Our last year's collection was, I think, 98.1%. So previously, like last year, I had budgeted for 95% collection, just because I wasn't sure where we'd be, especially with the split bills. But this year, I did take that 98% number and budget off that.
That's up to the tax collector to follow up on 1% or whatever, as far as trying to get that money?
Yes, yep. Yeah, she works on collecting prior year and interest and liens. So if they don't, you know, if a bill goes delinquent, just like it would be, if, just like taxes, it would, after 30 days, go delinquent, she'd put a lien on the property.
Okay,
and then we'd collect the interest on that as well. So I did put together in these spiral-bound booklets, a summary on the front page, and I added a column for a percent change just to make it a little easier to look at, and if something jumps out we can definitely talk about it, but however you guys want to do it, if you want to go through line by line or just point out a few.
Yeah, I think pointing out the items that have a big increase or, you know, that sort of
All right, so I'll just start with the first few here. So I estimated a 3.25% change for supervisors, that's myself and chief operator combined. The only reason it's 3.25 instead of 3 is because last year I had actually budgeted for 2.75, and non-union employees received a 3% increase last year across the board. So that's why that number is that. Financial services, that was used for funding 10% of the salaries for personnel in finance department and the tax office. The way it's gonna work this year, instead of taking money out of financial services, fringe benefits, and FICA, which is Medicare and Social Security, it's all gonna be transferred into the bottom account, which I labeled as new, just to make things easier as far as that's the way finance department and the CAO had requested I make that change. So there's really no dollar amount change, it's more of a shift in where the money's coming out of as far as a line item. Let's see, let me just go down the list. So that's why you'll see a reduction in financial services, a small increase in fringe benefits, just because of that, the fringe from finance is now transferred to a different account. FICA is a reduction for that same reason. Contract maintenance had gone up for, the main reason for that is for HVAC contract service. Let's see, that is 55030. So yeah, it's a pretty nominal amount, really. $200 roughly. Everything else is more or less the same. I think I estimated a 2.92% CPI increase across all the others, and those are just prices we're paying this year. And I can expect to pay a little bit more next year. Light and power, so electricity, that actually went down, and I'm using worst historical electrical data and current rates. So we have a locked-in rate for supply, but I'm using the current delivery rates, and those numbers actually went down. So that's a good savings, about $8,000.
And how did that go? That Eversource rates are down?
They're down from what I had budgeted off of last year. So it must have been the 930 rates from 2024. I think they've had one or two changes since as far as their delivery rates.
That sounds good.
I could have brought the spreadsheet and show you how I came up with that. It's a pretty good tool, really. You kind of just, but that's what I expect to pay, and that's trending. That's how it's looking too, so that's good.
Same thing on the energy and fuel, huh? Or fuel and heat?
Fuel and heat, the only reason I dropped that one is because we have natural gas at the plant, but we don't use natural gas. So the company came out to service it, and he noticed we don't use it. He said, "You want me to just take this off, and you won't receive the minimum charge anymore?" So I said, "Yeah, we'll do that, because if we ever need it again, there's no charge to put a meter back on." We haven't used natural gas in years, not if ever, probably since mid-90s. So we've been paying $700 a year. I mean, it's probably progressively less back then, but roughly that much every year, just kind of throwing it away, really. So that's the reduction there. I didn't make a change for fuel, just because it's so early, and I'd rather have that money just in case fuel costs do go right back up. But I thought 11% reduction was pretty good. Communication, the one just above that, the last five is 56205. The increase there is because that line item will no longer be used for just cell phones for the staff for emergencies, but it'll be used for cell communication at Shops Pump Station and the Secret Lake flow meter location. And it's also used for data. We have a tablet that our crew brings out with them for doing call before you dig markouts and inspections of the sewer system. They can follow it right on a tablet. It's interactive, you can click on it, you know exactly where you are, what you're working on. So that includes that data cost as well. Meetings and dues, I'm requesting $300 added to that just to try to increase our ability to train staff well. So we have to receive so many credit hours per year to maintain our licenses, but I'd rather at least meet that, meet that at a minimum, but exceed that if possible. Just, I think, a better training gets you a better, well-prepared staff. Advertising had increased 300%, and that should just be a 1 year. The reason for that is our NPDES permit is becoming due for renewal, and the last time we had a NPDES permit renewal, it was, let me see, 57500. Actual cost for public notice in 2022 was almost $1,100. I know costs have gone up since, especially with public notices, so I'm hoping $1,500 for that is a fair estimate. Chemicals, 73% increase on that, and the reason for that is every other year we need to change our activated carbon, and that's used for odor control on the solids holding tanks. That's roughly $3,650 for 1,100 pounds. So that's that change. I'm not really calling out too many of the decreases or the zeros. So the only thing I'm really asking for as far as, you know, big increases, you know, $200 here, $300 there, is collection system maintenance. So years ago we used to budget for root control, we used to budget for CCTV and cleaning, things like that. And by looking at the budgets and looking at when maintenance was last done, it seems like 2019 was like the cutoff of that. We stopped doing root control on our root problem areas. We stopped doing regular TV inspections and just kind of cut it from the budget. So we had a lower increase, but now we're not doing the work. So people that have depend on a sewer system and that's plagued with roots, those roots aren't getting adequately treated. So I'd like to just budget a pretty nominal amount, I would think, overall of $10,500 added to that. That needed amount for just that purpose, the root control, CCTV, spot inspection. So if we find a defect, we can at least hire a contractor to make that repair versus waiting for a major collection system capital project, which could be years away, and say, hey, we'd like to throw this in right now, just get this repair done.
Do you have certain areas that you need to be inspected? It's been 6 years, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have a root control program. It was a 3-year phase program. Like 1 year we would do, say, Gildersleeve Avenue, and it could have been Dyer Avenue might have had a section on it or something like that. I know Gildersleeve was a bad one. I know East Hill had some roots. Spring Street, but that's going to get remedied through lining. But yeah, we had a 3-year list. And those haven't been inspected since. So they could be getting really bad, they could be okay, but I'm hoping with the CCTV work that we're getting done with facilities planning, we can kind of start over and, you know, reprioritize where do we actually need to root treat and or clean regularly to keep those sewers open. I'd rather not find out through a blockage and an overflow. So that was really the only large increase that I'm asking for. And then sludge, so that increase, 13.59%. I had mentioned sludge disposal in rates have gone up 12.3%, going from 6.1 cents per gallon to 6.85 cents per gallon. And I also budgeted for 125 trucks. Versus 115. So last year we used 125. We're adding more users on. It's likely that we're gonna come close to that amount. I'd rather have that money so we can get the sludge out.
So John, out of that item we talked before, how much of that money ballpark is trucking versus MDC for burning the sludge?
Let's see. Tell you in a minute. So for this requested budget, it'd be $56,000 for disposal and $80,000 for hauling. Yeah, I mean, I can give you the exact numbers if you like, but roughly $80,000 for hauling and $56,000 for disposal.
Okay, just curious, all right.
And then one last one I did not mention, is called DEP permit, and that's just for the NPDES permit renewal. So every 5 years, we have to renew our NPDES permit. And those are the anticipated costs for that.
Okay. So the, I think you had mentioned the 250 skating pool you're thinking about replacing, is that true?
Yes, yep.
But that's not in the budget, or is
that? That's in the CIP budget for this year. That's what we voted on last year.
Yeah.
So we don't put that in the operating.
Oh, that's okay.
It would be requested as a capital purchase.
Oh, okay.
I also don't want to jump on that until we start receiving grants and things are more stabilized.
Okay.
And we can keep that truck moving along.
Yeah.
It's not in good shape, but
it's
working. So okay. I'd rather wait till we at least get the Clean Water Fund grant and that's out of the way, because that's, you know, $500,000, and then I would make that request for purchase of a new truck.
Okay. And we don't waive our own fees for sewer use. We pay less like everyone else.
Yeah, we do. I don't know why every plant I've worked at does that. I think it's some sort of technicality that we need to.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
You know, most of this is pretty straightforward, you know, comparing things to last year and so on. I would think we'll just leave this to have everybody take another look at it and maybe vote on the next meeting.
Would it be possible to get the 2024 budget with the, you know, the proposed budget, whatever we had adopted as the budget, and compare against what we actually spent in 2024? And then maybe a year to date on 2025, just to make sure that our projections are kind of lining up with where we're actually landing. Because I know we're comparing against what we had, I guess, budgeted for last year.
Okay.
How did we do? I don't know what our scorecard is.
Yeah.
As far as
yeah, we can do that. So you want the 24-25 fiscal year budget as proposed, as approved, and then actual expenditures during that budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then maybe year to date on our current budget.
Okay. I can do that, and I'll bring that for next meeting.
Excellent. So I think that's about it for our items tonight. So in the interim, John and I will be, and Paul will be meeting with zoning and economic development mid-month. Paul Dombrowski about those flow studies, see if he has anything for the next meeting. That's about all my thoughts for things going on this month. And again, the manhole project, do you have a sort of a start date, correct?
I mean, they've technically started some of the preliminary parts of it. I mentioned the root kill had started. They ordered frames and covers. The estimate was 2 to 4 weeks for delivery, so I'd imagine they want to start right after that. Once they have everything in, I can get request it.
Sometime this month they might actually initiate, you know, construction.
It's possible. I can ask for an estimate on whether that's actually a feasible estimate or not.
Yeah. I have questions for other commission members with respect to the plant, the new plant that we're going to be building. What are our major needs? Meaning, say is, I want to stay out of this politics of whether the EDA or zoning or somebody wants to say, we need this, we need that. I think from the perspective of the WPCA, if we had a list of, this is what we need with respect to the plan of the future. And. I'm sorry? For example, as Wood and Curran finish up their project, if they're assuming we're always going to have 30% inflow or something to infiltration, we're going to want an amount of capacity, I would think, in the next 15 years or something to take care of that.
To continue to fund II projects, more
correction projects? Let's say we need capacity to handle what I think Paul has said or whomever has said. You're always going to have a certain percentage of infiltration. You can't get away from that.
Yeah.
And I think from a benchmark perspective, that's the WPCA will want that going into a new plant. And another thing is we want redundancies on X, Y, and Z. And all those sorts of things are going to play into the costs. And I think when this thing goes to a vote, the WPCA, if we have all those needs written out and documented, we stay out of the fray of anything else that might be playing with, I want 1 million gallons, or I want 500, or I don't want anything. Thought maybe sometime in the future we could have that sort of discussion. Like I would like, maybe it's not financially feasible, but was it the nitrogen going into the river?
Mm-hmm.
That might be something that I as a member of this commission would want, but the other four members here, my five members might not want, and we could have that sort of discussion on.
Whether we want to have nutrient removal built in if we put in improvements in the process.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And if we had four or five of those types of items that this WPCA is, this is what we want, or this is what we believe is the best thing from an authority, then the rest of the community can have at it where they say, I want this volume, I don't want that volume. I'm not going to pay anything, I want to pay something. Some citizens might not want to pay any because they're not on the sewer district. It's just going to get complicated, I think, as we start to go into the vote in like 2 years from now or whatever. And it would be nice, I think, you guys could think about it, what we believe is the right thing for what we think that plant needs. Sensible to anybody. I'm certainly here listens to that as well.
I mean, I could probably help with that, put together like a list of attributes and people can gauge what they think is most important. Capacity, redundancy, energy efficiency, nutrient removal. What's most important, you know, rank them. And then we can kind of.
I listened to your presentation before, so I can. And I, towards the end, I could hear the board sort of like the board of selectmen posing questions to Paul that personally I was like, you know, I'm not quite sure that's the role of the WPCA or our consultant. That's something that's sort of like up in the air that the citizenry is going to have to sort of decide upon. So maybe we can. The authority or Wood and Curran could provide, hey, here's what statistics say with respect to flows from a single family household, from a commercial or whatever else. Or we want to know the capacity. Here's our ultimate capacity of the pump stations. Those are some sort of factual things that we can present to them that they can other than that, I think that the WPCA, it would be nice to have, this is what we need. And let the chips fall or the debates happen with respect to what everybody else thinks we need. And that's all getting back to the last, where we had three or four referendums back in the 90s, because it got, just got really convoluted. Well, the WPCA said this, or they said that, and, you know, it's like, I think if we say sort of upfront, or this is what we need.
What our basic goals are, or, well, I mean, you know.
What our needs are.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the size and numbers need to come from outside the WPCA, as far as if the town wants, you know, either through planning and zoning estimates, they say, you know, this area of town we'd like to develop, and the engineers can put a number on that. You know, if it's zoned as this, we can expect this many gallons and this much loading to come from this area, and then they would design a system for that.
Yeah.
Rather than going in it kind of arbitrarily and saying, oh, we want a 1.
Yeah, exactly.
X million gallon plant, why? It's like, you gotta have a reason for it.
Like, even with respect to the sewer district, there used to be a pretty, and I think there is still a defined sewer district, yet over time that district has sort of changed, and I think that's gonna become a question. It's not our answer. I think that's a town question that they need to answer. What do you want for a sewer district? But anyway.
I think that's what we're gonna talk about with planning and zoning.
I think that's the goal of that meeting, is to, you know, start that formal conversation with them.
Yeah, I don't think the sewer use area has really expanded a lot over the last 20 years.
It hasn't, but it did.
For example, any certain area you're thinking?
Applegate wasn't originally in the sewer district.
Yeah, I guess it was on the edge there.
Yeah, and I don't have anything against that whatsoever.
But I think the basic lines have stayed the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
My main thought was what I initially talked about, what the WPCA, what we believe for an efficient operating system, and that system's more than sewer plants, the delivery and all that. So it's sort of like, as best we can from a black and white perspective, let the citizenry and these other boards and commissions know that this is our wants and needs. Thank you.
Well, those are all good thoughts, and I'm sure we'll have some discussions as we go along. So, yeah.
Could I just make one last couple notes while we're still on budget?
Yeah.
I did include a summary and then a list of six items for CIP for the next 5 years. So one we talked about, whether it was last meeting or the meeting before, I can't remember which one, but a jetter trailer unit. So I did put that in for fiscal year 26-27. And when they go in the CIP, it's kind of more of like a wish list, and this is what we should plan on spending, not necessarily we're setting money aside for it based on your approval. So when it comes to actually making a purchase, then we would need quotes or bids and transfer approvals, things like that. So for the first 2 years, I did put the jetter trailer unit, and then a couple repairs to the RBCs. Whether or not we keep those in any sort of plant improvement or not, those bearings and pedestals are in bad shape on numbers 1 and 3. They were replaced on number 2 during the last repair, but I'd like to budget for replacing the bearings and pedestals on numbers 1 and 3. Even if those RBCs do get removed in any sort of plant improvement, expansion, whatever it is, we need to make sure they keep running, because we don't want to have those break mid projects, and it can get pretty hairy. That same year, as a second priority, I'd requested a spare pump purchase for Town Bridge Pump Station. Those pumps are about 10 years old. Typically, pumps last 15, 20 years before start running into issues and potentially go bad or they need replacement. And those pumps, their flight pumps, are pretty long lead time, typically months. So I'd rather not have one pump at that station, because when it does clog or fail, it gets pretty, turns into more of an emergency versus, you know, one is down, the other one's working. But if one's down, the other one's working for months after month after month, you could run into, you know, possible sanitary sewer overflow issues there. So I'd like to have a spare for that station. And then the last three projects were on previous CIPs. I updated the prices a little bit just to, you know, add 3% per year estimated for inflationary costs. And I did put a note on here that these are contingent on findings and recommendations from the facility planning. So some of these systems might become obsolete. Some of them might be replaced in any sort of expansion or upgrade anyways. Like for instance, secondary clarifiers, they're 30 years old. They're gonna need component replacement regardless, but does it make more sense to do them on their own project with cash reserves, or does it make more sense to put it into a large project at a 20%+ grant, and you know, you have mobilization costs might inflate the cost of doing it as a small project versus a one large project. And then same thing with influent pump and commutator replacement, as well as RBC pump improvements. Are those pumps staying? Influent pumps are probably going to get replaced, but possibly upsized, possibly, you know, different technologies. This is just a direct replacement estimate. Same thing with RBC pumps. Are we keeping the RBCs? Is there going to be a gravity flow through that where we don't need them? But I'd rather keep these projects in the in our thought anyways, that if the engineering recommendations are completely ignored from facility planning, at least we were planning on replacing major components, because that's what, regardless, that's what we need to do. So if we don't do improvements, we should plan on component replacements, which we had planned prior to. That's the CIP I'm proposing.
All right, I think that covers it. So I'll make a motion to the meeting be adjourned at 6:59. So it gets to 7 o'clock.
Second.
Five seconds. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Thank you.